الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Now, as we continue in the وعليكم السلام in the شرح بالعقيدة الواسطية, in particular we were dealing with ال قيامة ال أيوة what? What's the adjective? الصغرى الكبرى. And what is the translation for that? Major resurrection. Why do we have a qiyamah sughra? Do we? Which is what? When someone dies. Our death or a person's death is the minor resurrection. As in his time to do good is over. He is already in a stage not of that of this life, not the life of this world. And so it is a minor resurrection, because the major resurrection is when he and everybody else rise from the graves, as we have discussed previously. Now, from what I remember, we said that the evidence for the fact that there will be a major resurrection, the evidence for that is the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma' of the Muslims, the consensus. Did we begin with the Kitab? We didn't elaborate on that. Is that where you at? What's the last comment you have? Jamil, this is where I'm at. إذن وتقوم القيامة التي أخبر الله بها في كتابه وعلى لسان رسوله وأجمع عليها المسلمون. Then the major resurrection will occur, the one which Allah spoke about in His book, and through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Muslims have agreed upon. There's no difference of opinion among the Muslims concerning that. هذه ثلاثة أنواع من الأدلة. These are three kinds of evidences. كتاب الله تعالى, the book of Allah تبارك وتعالى, وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the sunnah of his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, وإجماع المسلمين, and the consensus of the Muslims. إجماع, consensus. Consensus means the agreement, the mutual agreement on something. When a group of people agree, let's say a company has 20 employees and they have a discussion concerning new ways or to deal with customers, whatever, and everyone agrees, you say there was a consensus among the employees that we would be using such and such means, whatever. Consensus. Now we will actually elaborate on each. فأما كتاب الله تعالى فقد أكد تعالى في كتابه هذه القيامة. As for the book of Allah, Allah has affirmed and confirmed and assured the fact that there will be a resurrection in His book. وذكره, and in His book He mentioned there will be a resurrection. وذكره الله عز وجل بأوصاف عظيمة توجب الخوف والاستعداد لها. And Allah described it with such, you know, scary descriptions which necessitate fear and preparation for it. For example, قال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. What surah is this? Don't read from the book. Don't read from the book. Either you know it from memory or don't answer me. This is the introduction of which surah? Surah Al-Hajj. Surah Al-Hajj. And the scholars say, isn't it amazing that in Surah Al-Hajj, it's called Surah Al-Hajj, you think it will be discussing strictly Hajj. And it begins with يوم القيامة, because the closest thing to Qiyamah is Hajj. Everybody's up there looking alike, somewhat more or less. Everybody's wearing the same kind of towels. There isn't that, you know, distinction between the rich and the poor, which is how people will be on يوم القيامة. You're not going to know this was a king and he was a poor person. Everybody's going to look the same. No one will have bodyguards with him, you know, or an entourage or someone, you know, some special things or a car which is going to drop him off at, you know, the day of resurrection. Everyone is going to be in the state of humility and humiliation, afwan. So, Hajj kind of, you know, it resembles that. The magnitude of people, so many people in one location, and you look at them from, you know, above, through a plane or a helicopter, and you see, you know, these millions of people. thousands of people. It's like Qiyamah. So the Surah Al-Hajj begins with the description of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. SubhanAllah, this is from the depth of the Quran. And we won't be able to truly understand unless we reflect in this fashion. And this wasn't even my own reflection or yours, it was that of the ulama. We're copying the ulama. Alaykum salam, ahlan wa sahlan. Concerning this particular subject matter, ala kulli hal, the translation is, Ya ayyuhan nas, whenever you hear Ya ayyuha, this is what? This is calling. It could be Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Can it be Ya ayyuhal ladhina kafaru? Can it be Ya ayyuhal ladhina kafaru? It's in the Quran, ya jama'at al-khair. Ya ayyuhal ladhina kafaru, la ta'tadhiru al-yawm. Do not apologize today. Allah addressed the kuffar with Ya ayyuhal ladhina kafaru. It is not common, but it's in the Quran. I'm trying to remember exactly what surah. What's his name? Always recited, Manzur. Huh? It's either Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Ahzab?
Yeah.
Okay, one second. Pause. That was Surah Al-Tahrim, ayah number 7. Now that's being recorded. Ya ayyuhan nas, it's addressing then who? Mankind. Everyone. Believers and disbelievers. اتقوا ربكم, protect yourself from the punishment of your Lord. In other words, fear your Lord. Verily the shaking or the quake of the hour, شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ, is a tremendous event, is a tremendous thing. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّ أَرْضَعَتْ. On the day where you will see every nursing woman, breastfeeding woman, will drop her baby, will become too busy to continue nursing. She will be distracted from nursing. That's very far-fetched. Yani right now a woman, if she were to be nursing her baby and something happens, let's say she sees a rat or a mouse in the house, what happens? The first thing she will do, she will embrace the baby. The natural reaction, or if there was an earthquake or something along these lines, she will embrace the baby. No, but on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, she will throw the baby. She will throw. تذهل يعني, she becomes too busy, too preoccupied to be concerned about the baby that she is breastfeeding. That doesn't happen in this dunya. No matter how bad the earthquake, people tend to hold on to their loved ones and protect them as opposed to throw them around and throw them away. وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها, and every pregnant woman will miscarry. She will have a miscarriage. She will lose her child. The pregnancy will be terminated. Because of, again, this happens when a woman is very traumatized. And when a woman goes through a very, major psychological problems, she may have a miscarriage. So this event will actually have the woman be in this condition. And then the last one, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. When you look at people, they will appear to be drunk. And maybe you haven't been around drunk people. Alhamdulillah, if you've been living here long enough, usually you haven't seen drunk people. But if you lived elsewhere, and then you've seen drunk people. Now drunk people don't know what they're doing, and now there's levels of intoxication. Someone who's slightly, tipsy, if they say, he's going to act, within the norm. But someone who's drunk, totally drunk, these people have no idea what they're doing. They're speaking weird, they're moving weird, they can't stand straight, they can't communicate with people. He may punch you out of nowhere. You can be having a normal conversation, something in his brain clicks, and next thing you know, he beats you up. They kill their own spouses sometimes, drunk people. They go against the traffic on the freeway, kill themselves and others, no problem. Why? He's drunk. You will look at the people, they will appear to be drunk. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But Allah said, but they're not drunk. No one is going to be drunk. But they're going to act so weird. Everyone is, imagine running around, and we will see more ayat describing that they will appear to be drunk people. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. Then Allah gave us the justification. Why is all this happening? وَلَكِنْ, but عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ, the punishment of Allah is severe. That's the bottom line of the situation, which we don't seem to realize. That's our problem. Yani, a brother was making tea the other day, and he had his hand go over the, not the cup, that thing that, yeah, that that boils the water. I forgot what it's called now. Whatever. Ibrik. No, but in it has a name now. The electric one. Anyways, kettle. There it is. Kettle. Yeah, K-E-T-T-L-E, right? That's the one. So anyways, his hand went over the steam. And he had a big old, you know, bump, you know, on his arm that had, you know, it was water and pus inside and all this, you know, all these problems. Because of steam of a tea, which he was making, went over just, you know, a little bit, like this. And then, you know, I didn't know, he was wearing a thobe, and he came next to me, and I grabbed him, and we're like, ah! I said, what's wrong with this guy? I lift up his thing, and there's this thing right there. So, you know, it's a little tiny thing, man. Not even the water, the hot water itself. It's the steam of the hot water. And this is the suffering that the brother had to go through. And then we say Jahannam is 69 times as severe as not hot water or steam, as the hottest fire of the dunya. Think of the sun. Okay, how would you be if you were right there in the sun? You'll be toasted. Multiply that by 69 times, that's Jahannam. Not a picnic for anyone. Hey, so we need to bring that to mind all the time, so we can act right, inshallah. That's the first ayah. Now anyways, that's the evidence that what? That this Qiyamah Kubra, this description of Qiyamah Kubra. All of you know Surah Al-Haqqa. Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, wa ma adraka mal-Haqqa. Haqqa can be translated in numerous ways. I personally found the most adequate translation is the inevitable. Something which is inevitable, meaning it must happen. Yani if you continue to exercise, it is inevitable that you will grow muscles. Yani you keep doing something and a byproduct, 100% guaranteed result of that is inevitable in English, or inevitable if you want to say it with the T, it's all the same, doesn't make a difference. So the haqqa from haqqa. Haqq, what is haqq? Truth. A. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Allah said about the Quran and all the promises which He gave, by the Lord and Master of the heaven and the earth, it is haqq, the Quran and the Qiyam and everything, the same way you speak. It's as real as that. So haqqa is the real truth, the inevitable truth, which is going to happen. وَمَا أَدْرَكَ, and what makes you know? What will have you know concerning that haqqa? وَقَالَ تَعَالَى الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. الْقَارِعَةُ is the striking hour. The striking, what is the striking hour? And what will make you know what the striking hour is? On the day where the people will be like moth, scattered around. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, and the mountains will be like carded wool. The mountains. So people and everything will look just, you know, a bunch of things just put together in one location. You can go back to the tafsir and read the English. والأوصاف لها في القرآن كثيرة كلها مروعة مخوفة لأنها عظيمة. And the description in the Quran are abundant of Yawm al-Qiyamah, of the Qiyamah al-Kubra, the major resurrection. All of them are you know, scary and horrifying because they're tremendous. وَإِذَا لَمْ نُؤْمِنْ بِهَا فَلَنْ نَعْمَلَهَا. And if we don't believe in it, we will never work for it. If we know that we will not get a salary at the end of the month, we're not going to work. If you knew for yaqeen, they will not pay you, no one will work. You will quit. But when you know that there's a salary at the end of the month, you will work. So believing in the coming of something or the occurrence of something has a direct immediate effect on doing or not, or abandoning the action. Believe in that. If we don't believe in it, we will never work for it. إِذْ لَا يُمْكِنْ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَعْمَلْ لِهَذَا الْيَوْمْ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِهِ. It is impossible that someone will work for that day, he will be able to work for that day until he believes in it. You have to believe in it first to work for it. وَحَتَّى يُذْكَرْ لَهُ أَوْصَافُ الَّتِي تُوْجِبُ الْعَمَلْ لِهَذَا الْيَوْمْ. And until the description has been given concerning that day which he will be working for. Yani that's why
in fact, the Quran and the Sunnah give us detailed explanation of what will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You read the Quran, a huge percentage of the Quran is describing the affairs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Either Yawm al-Qiyamah or the stage afterwards, which is either paradise or hell. A big, especially Juz'u Amma. Juz'u Amma predominantly is addressing this issue. And you read it. وَعَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Then, you know, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتَ يَوْمَ يُنْفَقُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. All this is Jahannam and Jannah. نازعات والنازعات غرقت. Also in the beginning, then at the end. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. Then Surah Abbas at the end. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةُ. Then Surah Al-Takwir, Surah Al-Buruj. All of them are actually addressing predominantly the topic of the Day of Judgment and what happens afterwards. And this is a big portion of the Quran which people recite often. But if we don't know Arabic, then usually we will not know what's going on. That's the disadvantage of not knowing Arabic. We may hear this surah being recited in every salah, and every day, at least in Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha. But because of not knowing what they're actually saying, we won't be affected positively. We will not make a change. Because sometimes one ayah will remind you, sometimes one of us will start going astray, he will start following his desires, you know, because we have shayateen of human and jinn working 24/7 trying to mislead us. And sometimes this is why one of the wisdoms of the five daily prayers is that five times you are reminded. And why are you supposed to recite the Quran in the salah? Why is it not just tasbih and tahleel and what have you? Because you need the Quran. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. With the Quran you remind those who fear the promise of the Day of Judgment. So the Quran is the most effective way of reminding people. So when we learn Arabic and we know what the ayat mean, the imam may be reciting Surah Al-Asr, and we reflect, Subhanallah, والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا. Then you say, am I of them? Do I believe, do righteous deeds, and do I do أمر بالمعروف نهي عن المنكر? Do I do it in myself, do it among the people around me, or am I just, you know, hanging out, living on the, you know, the margin of life, not doing anything positive and fruitful? One small surah will change your approach. You may repent to Allah in that salah and go back home and say, I'm never going to be the same again. But if we don't know, we may go salah after salah, we're just standing there. We look nice, it looks good, but we don't understand. So the Arabic language, upon you and myself, and the Arabic language is not like something you learn, you know, 20 minutes and then, even people, Arabs, need to learn the Arabic language. Because there's one thing to speak Saudi or Lebanese or Syrian, and it's another thing to learn the Arabic language. They're not the same. And we can get you many people that speak Arabic, but they don't understand the language of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because first it's ancient Arabic. It's the Arabic of the Arabs back then, which was pure. It wasn't contaminated with other languages and what have you. Nowadays, you know, cancel. Have you heard that? Yeah. Somebody say, just cancel. خلاص, cancel the barnamish. Ish cancel. This is cancel, man. This is cancel. The English word cancel, it became Arabic. The Arabs did, now you say, cancel, cancel. You know, just cancel. And we can give hundreds of words that people use today that have nothing to do with the Arabic language. Specifically, the Middle Eastern people, like myself and the Egyptian. You know, the Zayak. Amile. What part of the language is that? Zayak, what is that? What is the root for that? What is the nothing? Nothing. Allah knows, it may be from Persia or some other country it came. And the list goes on. So an Arab doesn't necessarily mean that this person, if he's an Arab, doesn't mean he knows Arabic. There's a level ahead. Yes, it makes things easy because you may be familiar with many of the words, but it's not enough. The language of the Quran is rich, requires familiarizing oneself with particular terminology. So I invite myself and you, encourage myself and you, learn the Arabic language. Don't be lazy. And once a week with Dr. Yahya is not enough. Once a week is not enough. Buy books, find an institute, find an Arabic teacher, pay him money, bring him so he can do something. Do something. But this is a must.
So you can really reach a point where you can interact with Islam all the way. You can read the fatawa, you can read the ahadith. You know, not, of course there's a level for the scholars, but let's say as a student of knowledge or someone who's familiar, you'll be able to know what's going on. You don't need anyone else. It's very important. Inshallah, it is doable. People learn Chinese. I know people that learn Chinese because he's going to go to China once a year to, you know, strike some business deals. And now he comes, "Wow, what happened to you, man? Since when do you speak Chinese?" "Oh brother, mashallah, they're going to give me 2,000 riyals extra every month for going once a year to China. You better believe I'm going to learn Chinese." Say, okay, why don't we have this attitude concerning the deen? I want to go to Jannah. Arabic is one of the ways. Let it be. Yeah? Khair. طيب وأما السنة فالأحاديث في ذكر القيامة كثيرة. As for the sunnah, the narrations concerning mentioning the القيامة, the resurrection, are abundant. بيّن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بها ما يكون فيها. بيّن. Now see here, for example, Arabic wise, if we can read this بين,
between.
بين means between. Now بيّن, if you look at the word, they don't have the shadda. They don't have the vowels, whether this the short vowels or the long vowels. So if you're not familiar with the Arabic language, you may read this expression and totally misunderstand it. Because you can read بين الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بها, that doesn't make any sense. Between the Prophet وسلم and it doesn't make sense. بين from بيان. Not the one of تبليغي جماعات. Okay? Not the one of Tablighi Jama'at. Some, like I mentioned in the Friday class, they call it Bayan, sometimes it's Dalal. They call it Bayan, but it has nothing to do with Bayan. Bayan is bringing proof, clarity, understanding. If you're quoting narrations from Fadal, A'mal and Fadal, Sadaqat, this is not necessarily Bayan. Being very frank with you. Jazakumullah khair, and their brothers, you know, doing da'wah, and all lovely, but we have to do this within the conditions of the sunnah and knowledge of the sunnah. It's not, you know, haphazard. Anyone who yesterday he wasn't doing salah, tomorrow he's giving bayan in the masjid. He needs a bayan himself. He shouldn't be giving a bayan. These are things we have to agree on. And the whole issue of dividing the ummah is not something we entertain to begin with, but that's another discussion. The point being, bayan is bayana, then what does it mean? This is the past tense. Past tense of yubin. Mubin, you have mubin. You've heard the word mubin, right? Bayinat. Inna alladhina yaktumuna ma anzalna min albayinati walhuda min ba'di ma bayyannahu lin-nasi fil kitab ulaika yal'anuhum Allah wa yal'anuhum la'inun. You hear this often in the Quran. Bayina, surah al-bayina. Do we have surah al-bayina? Right. So bayina is to bring clarity, proof, understanding, crystal clear evidence and proof. بيّن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he explained with correct and sound understanding to the people ما يكون فيها, what will happen on the day of resurrection. كما سيأتي إن شاء الله في ذكر الحوض والصراط والكتاب وغير ذلك مما بيّنه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. As will come eventually, inshallah, as we move on in the book actually, concerning the hawd, the fount, or the big lake, we will see other translations. والصراط. What is the sirat? It's a bridge that will be cast over Jahannam. Everyone will have to go over it. And according to many of the ulama, everyone will have to go in to Jahannam. Everyone, Muslims and non-Muslims, will go to Jahannam. And we have, by the way, very strong evidences for that. But I'm not going to confuse you now. But just to tell you the one in Surah, I believe either Taha or Maryam. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. There isn't any one of you except that he will enter it. Then we will save those who used to have taqwa, and we will leave the rest of them on their knees in Jahannam. And the Prophet ﷺ had said that, and one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ said, "O Messenger of Allah, how is it that, you know, no one will, everyone enter Jahannam?" Didn't Allah, or she understood the other way around. So he explained to her that everyone will enter, but the believers, it will be like cool for them. It would be cool upon them.
they will not go in there for burning. But in terms of going through it, yes. Many of the, this is what wurud. Al-wurud, not the roses here. Wurud is to go through something. Warat. Wa in minkum illa wariduha. This is a very, by the way, a technical issue the scholars have differed on. It's a very interesting discussion. Either way, don't worry. Inshallah, if one of us is among the muttaqeen, you're not going to suffer. Whether you go in there first, and it will be cool on you, and then you go to Jannah or you don't, it makes no difference. Because either way, it's not going to be a source of torture for the muttaqeen. But that valid difference of opinion is there, yes it is. Because of textual evidences which may be interpreted in more than one way. Ala kulli hal, الصراط then is the path or the bridge which will be cast over Jahannam. والكتاب وغير ذلك. The kitab, what is intended by the kitab here? Now listen, you have to understand the context. Context is fount of the Prophet ﷺ, the lake. Sirat and kitab. What kitab are we speaking about?
Yeah, written, our book written by the
Jameel. I want an evidence from the Quran. Aywa. Jameel. Ikra kitabaka kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Read your book. Sufficient upon you today is yourself as a witness. And wa amma man utiya kitabahu bi yaminihi. As for the one who's been given his book with his right hand. In Surah Al-Kahf, قَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. So this is speaking of the book that has the deeds, the book of deeds. It's known as the book of deeds in English. And either you will take in the right hand or in the left hand behind your back. If you take in the left, because it comes in some of the ayat, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ, behind his back. Then this will be the one who will be destroyed. If you take your book in the right hand and you say, Ha umuqara'u kitabiya. You know how in the dunya when you pass, you know the exam say, hey, check it out man, I won. But the only time where this will be really lawful and you have the right to be proud and happy and say brag, you know, brag amongst the people. Check me out man, I'm the super guy here. Then when you get your book in your right hand, ha umuqra'u kitabiya, come here, come read my book. This was the difference. Now the other one will be running away from the rest of the people, as we will see in the description. Ala kulli hal, Allah musta'an. So we have the kitab and the sunnah. What's left? Ijma', ahsant. Ijma', wa amma al-ijma' wa huwa an-naw' al-thalith, faqad ajma' al-muslimuna ijma'an qat'iyan ala الإيمان بيوم القيامة. As for إجماع, which is the third kind, the Muslims have agreed an agreement which is free of doubt. قطعيا يعني 100% guaranteed that they in the belief in يوم القيامة. In fact, it's one of the six pillars of إيمان يوم الآخر. Because all this is included in اليوم الآخر. ولهذا كان من أنكره فهو كا فهو إيش. Try to let's get the Arabic in. Time out. Listen. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مَنْ أَنْكَرَهُ. What does أَنْكَرَ mean?
Reject.
تُنْكِر, to reject. That's why it's called munkar. Because it's rejected. It's a deed which is unacceptable amongst the people. It's munkar. معروف from عرف. From something which is known, meaning known to be good, munkar, known to be evil. Ankara is to deny, to reject. So the one who ankarahu, the ha is referring to what? Is a pronoun referring to what? Yawm al-qiyamah. لهذا كان من, من is who, whoever now. This does the pronoun of the person. Ankara who, the ha here, the verb is ankara. Ha is referring to يوم القيامة. Whoever then rejects يوم القيامة, but instead of repeating in Arabic language, you use a pronoun. Usually ha or kaf. Right? That's why you say, جزاك الله خيرا, جزاك. I don't say, I can say جزا محمد, Allahu
خيره جزى محمدا الله خيره. But you don't usually say the name when you can substitute it with a pronoun. You don't say Ahmed went to school, Ahmed had an apple, Ahmed swam, Ahmed went to school, he had an apple, he swam, he. Because you don't want to hear Ahmed many times. This is in English, it's the same thing in Arabic. You don't use the actual original noun when you can substitute it with the pronoun, which is much lighter. Single letter ha does with the whole يوم القيامة. Surely it is easier. كان إيش فهو كافر. He's a disbeliever. If someone says I don't believe in يوم القيامة, he's no longer a Muslim. إلا إذا كان غريبا عن الإسلام وجاهلا. Unless he is a stranger to Islam, someone who just embraced Islam, or someone who's ignorant, totally ignorant. فإنه يعرف. Then he will be taught. Let's say someone who just embraced Islam said, I don't believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Or someone who's born Muslim but totally ignorant. And I've heard this. I received one email and this sister said, her mother doesn't believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And her mother prays 5 times a day. But she's jahila. Total ignorance. So then what do we do? فَإِنَّهُ يُعَرَّفْ. He will be educated. You will teach this person. فَإِنْ أَصَرَّ عَلَى الْإِنْكَارِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. If he insists on denial and rejection afterwards, then he's a kafir. If you say him, Allah says in the Quran, you know, يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ in the ayah in Surah Al-Hajj, for example. And they still don't believe, meaning they don't believe in the Quran. They become disbelievers. Right. وَهُنَالِكَ نَوْعٌ رَابِعٌ مِنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ. Now the Shaykh added a fourth evidence or source. So far the sources were the Quran, Sunnah, Ijma'. If you don't have a book, answer me. If you have a book, don't answer me. What could be the fourth source? What could possibly be? Now we're trying to prove that we believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah, okay? And we said we believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah because the Quran teaches us so. And the Sunnah, and all the Muslims agree. Is there a fourth one, which is not really important, not يعني a condition, but we can use it for, you know, these are sound, correct, but the Shaykh mentioned something else. You have a book? MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Good answer. Al-Kutub al-Samawiyya, the scriptures of the people of the book. And he said Samawiyya meaning divine scriptures, as in the scriptures which Allah revealed.
Samawiyya?
How many do we have that we know of?
Zabur
of who? وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. And Musa التَّوْرَةِ بالعربي, in English Torah. وإنجيل عيسى, the Gospel of Jesus. We have one more.
Quran.
The Quran. One more. We mentioned Zabur. صحف إبراهيم. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. Even though the ones that we know most of are the Torah and the Gospel, but the صحف إبراهيم mentioned in the Quran. But so these are the Kutub al-Samawiyya, meaning they're revealed by Allah. So the book of the Hindus, we can throw it in the trash. You can throw it where? In the trash. This book has absolutely no divine origin. Nothing. Man-made from the first page till the last page. But if you had a Bible, you wouldn't want to throw it in the trash. Because it may contain some of the revelation which Allah sent down upon Isa. And in fact you find many ayat that are extremely harmonious with the ayat in the Quran. Even the beginning, Genesis begins that God created the heavens and the earth, and all, you know, خلق السماوات والأرض, same thing. And when Jesus was, you know, telling the people, hear O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yes, the mention of Rasulullah in the Bible, and at least in the in the Hebrew one, which now they translated the name, But as Ahmad Didat Rahimullah proved that Muhammadin was mentioned by name in the Hebrew Bible. But when they translated that to Greek, then to different languages, he made them the comforter, the altogether lovely, the they gave him different names. Even though you don't have the right to translate someone's name. If someone's name was Mr. Black, and this is a very common people, a very common you know, last name among Westerners, you cannot say Ustad Aswad dakhal hina. Okay? You cannot. Because you cannot translate someone's name. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever your name is, I can't give it another name in another language because that may be offensive to you. It doesn't make any sense. If your name is Shanur, then it's going to be Shanur. And regardless of where you go, people cannot translate your name accordingly. You know, based on the local dialect. So I'm not going to, for example, Abdul Majid, I'm going to call it, because he goes to, you know, some Western country, they're going to call him the slave of the, you know, most merciful, for example. Or Majid, the most great and the most vast. You can't translate someone's name. You cannot call Muhammad the praised one. He's the praised one. This is his name. No. Names remain as is. So the Prophet's name, alayhi salam, was mentioned in Hebrew, Muhammadin. They have the noon of respect there. Right? The N. When they translated that to other language, they knew if they were to keep it, they would lose the Christian world. So they translated the name out of their wickedness as usual in order to misguide the people. Otherwise he was mentioned in the Bible. So at the point being, you will find references in the Bible that are consistent with the teachings of the Quran. And these are from the Israeliyat. These are from the things which we may accept if consistent with the Islamic teachings. But the Hindu books are worthless. And so are those of the Buddhists and other religions.
Sometimes some scholars are quoting Hindu scriptures also for the proof of
Muhammad. I don't know, yeah, but that would be using a historical book. Sorry. A book of history, not a book of divine revelation. You understand what I'm saying? It's very important. We cannot say, look, even in the previous books which God revealed, the Prophet's name was mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, because this is not a book which Allah revealed. But you can't say that in the Bible. We can prove to them that we believe that Jesus was given the gospel, and here some remnants of these teachings are still available in your book. You cannot say this to a Hindu. You may use it for da'wah, I'm not saying no, Allahu A'lam. But we have to be exact in our explanation that I'm quoting to show you that even in your man-made book, historically the Prophet's name alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioned. Not that this has any divine origin. It's very important that we understand this point. على كل حال, we don't want to get off track, because I always get off track. إذن وهو الكتب السماوية, then the سماء, so like heavenly books, which means books which were revealed by Allah عز وجل. So even the kuffar believed that Allah was above. على كل حال, حيث اتفقت على إثبات اليوم الآخر. So even the divine revealed scriptures which have been corrupt now, the only one sound is the Quran, they also agreed that there's يوم القيامة, there's a day of resurrection. ولهذا كان اليهود والنصارى يؤمنون بذلك. This is why Jews and Christians believe in the last day. They do. And the Christians of course believe the only people who will go to paradise, yeah, are those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. These are, just know the words, so you will know when you give da'wah what you're dealing with. For a Christian, the key to paradise, the salvation, is accepting Jesus as your personal, they're very exact, as your personal Lord and Savior. Yeah, and he must be your Allah and your Savior. When you bring these two together, then you have salvation. Without them, no salvation for you. Which means that we are kuffar to them, the Jews are kuffar to them, and that the only ones that will go to paradise are the Christians. But when you speak to them, they will not say that in your face. They will not say that in your face. They will say, I respect my religion, I respect your religion, you respect mine. Why you keep giving me da'wah? You respect my religion, I respect Islam, no problem with Islam. Then turn around and say, listen, according to you, I'm going to the hellfire. You respect a religion that will send its owner or follower to the hellfire? That's crazy stuff, man. I don't know what you mean. What does the word respect mean in your language? Because in my language, I respect something that deserves awe and veneration. How do you respect a religion which says that you are worshipping a false god? And how do you respect a religion which says that you're going to the hellfire? What respect is that? They're just trying to get away from you. They want to run away from receiving da'wah. So they're famous for this. They're famous for this. You respect my religion, I respect yours. Leave me alone. So turn around, say, listen, that's not respect. How can you respect someone that disrespects your belief system? I think you're worshipping a cross. You respect me afterwards, you must be crazy or you don't know what respect means. This is the same excuse every smoker gives you when you give him nasiha. And I wish the day will come when someone will stop doing this to me. Just yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I'm walking by and I'm walking to the masjid and this guy's standing at the side of the corner smoking. So from the time I leave my house until I make it to him, I'm inhaling all the smoke. I can't, unless I have to cross the street, go all the way to the other side, maybe kill myself in the process, so I can, you know, avoid him and come back. And I may miss, you know, the adhan. This is not fair. I'm forced to smoke. So I go by and say, Akhi, haram alaik. Wallah haram. Yeah, and you want to smoke, and publicly, and you want to kill the people with you? As soon as I walk a few steps, he says, Bagala! Lesh bagala bi' sigara? See, what do you want from the bagala, ya akhi? Yani this lame excuse. Yani if you give me anything else, I will accept. But they blame the bagala. Yani the bagala is selling cigarettes. Why are you blaming me?
Yes.
And so what did I tell him? I said, if the bagala started selling prostitutes, do you go pick one up and go home and do zina? Then you tell me the bagala sells prostitutes? Yani you feeble-minded. If it's haram, it's haram. None of your business what the bagala does or doesn't. It's between you and Allah. You and Allah. You know it's haram. Don't tell me the government, the people, but none of your business. What happens in this world is none of your business. You know what is right, what is wrong. You need to act upon it. Bagala, bagala. Bagala, if we close this bagala, you're not going to go to another one and buy cigarettes from your country. You will. Because you want to smoke. Not because the bagala is selling cigarettes. But bagala sells cigarettes, we don't smoke. Yani, but see, this is the justification. The Christians have that same mentality. Oh, I respect you. They blame someone else. They don't want to take the blame. Don't believe the hype. Stick to your, you know, whatchamacallit. We got time. Time. وحتى الآن يؤمنون به. Until now, the Jews and the Christians believe in the last day. ولهذا تسمعونهم يقولون فلان المرحوم. This is why you hear even the Jews and the Christians, they say, Fulan, ex-person, Al-Marhum, the one who's been shown mercy. Marhum is an adjective describing one who has already attained something. Like Mazloom. What is Mazloom? Someone who's oppressed. Mal'oon. Someone who's cursed. Okay? And ala wazn maf'ul, anything that is on this wazn, that something which is the object, something that has something done to it. That's why we have maf'ul bihi, that which the sentence or the verb was done to. Akala Ahmad al-tufaha. Ahmad ate the apple. The apple is maf'ul bihi because the action occurs on it. It receives. So marhum meaning they say that he's already attained mercy. And usually the Christians say, you know, that one of the most wicked singers, you know, crack cocaine, you know, dealers and consumers will die, and they will say he finally went to God, he's in paradise now. Sheikh. And he's one of the most wicked people that lived on the planet. He may have been the owner of Playboy. They have no reservation, no problem. He's with God now. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. And they give him already the tazkiyah and jannah and everything automatically. Automatically without any, you know, and they will tell you, no, sure, of course he's in paradise. He's with God, blah, 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 blah. So they give him already the adjective marhum. He's already been shown mercy. It's a done deal, yani. There's no need to dispute that. Even though the angels at that point are probably smacking and smiting his face while they think that he's marhum, he's being beat up by the malaika for the kufr which he was upon all his life. But they will get to see that then. Oh, they say rahimahullah, or they say may Allah have mercy on him. And you probably heard that from Christians, specifically, you know, Arab Christians. They use these terms. Inshallah. Right? Allah yirhamu. Allah yirhamu. This is the Lebanese accent. May Allah have mercy on him. And they say this. I've heard it all my life. Even though they don't believe in Islam, but we have these common terminology between us. أو ما أشبه ذلك or whatever is similar to that. مما يدل على أنهم يؤمنون باليوم الآخر إلى يوم هذا. Which proves that they believe in the last day until today. They continue to believe in the last day. They haven't stopped. The Jews and the Christians still believe in the last day. Now the Shaykh added one to make you brothers happy, because some of you mentioned that. وثم نوع خامس. A fifth evidence is what? عقل. Now you know why it's called عقال. Have you ever wondered why it's called عقال? The actual word is عقال. And عقال became عقال because they make the قاف ج in Saudi. Not all in Lebanon the قاف is همزة. We say عقل. We don't say عقل. And this is a ألم. But that's a big problem because ألم means pain. ألم means pain. So we often have this problem. You know, Manqusha became Manushi. What you see in this, you know, and even they named the store according to our busted Arabic language. Right? They have no problem with that. They think it sounds, you know, cute. So, oh, ma fi mushkila, put Manusha. But what is Manusha really? There's no such thing. Because it's a qaf. Naqsh, you know, to make, to leave prints. That's why it's called Manusha, because they put their fingers in it, so the olive oil and the za'atar will sink in that little, you know, hole. So it's naqsh. You do naqsh on the actual dough. Anyways, I'm not going to give you a lesson in cooking right now. But the point being, so it's called iqal. Because iqal was used to tie the camel's rope. I'm sorry, the camel's leg. When they wanted to keep a camel from running away, they wanted to graze and just eat in a particular area, they will tie its leg. And they used to put this on their head, a rope really. It was really a rope that they will keep with them, and because of the heat they will wear some sort of fabric, some sort of white cloth to keep them from the sun. And how to keep it on their head and keep the igal with you instead of hanging it like the cowboys from your waist, they will put on their head. Seriously, that's how their uniform came. The Saudi uniform which you see now is red, you know, Givenchy, made in England. But if it made in England, man, why would they make a shemagh in England? Have you ever wondered? Like the fancier the shemagh, some of them are 300-400 riyals, made in England. You think in England they're sitting there making shemagh for the Arabs over here? That sounds very far-fetched. But anyways, they're probably right, made in England, maybe it's in China. It doesn't make a difference. This is where the actual dress code came from. It's that thing. So they used to have it with them all the time. Whenever they wanted to tie the rope of the camel, they will take off this rope and yaqilun. They will tie. Now, why was it called the aql? Because it ties you, it keeps you in an area from doing something stupid. يعني تعقلك تعقل الإنسان عن التصرف بشكل لا يليق. It prevents you from acting in a way that is unacceptable. So it became عقل because it's like something which is tying you to intellect and to thinking. This is where the word actually came from. And عقال came from عقل. And then in the Quran, أفلا يعقلون أفلا تعقلون. Do you not then understand? It becomes understanding. Clear? But إذن هو العقل. وجه ذلك أنه لو لم يكن هذا اليوم لكان إيجاد الخلائق عبثا. Now how do we understand this intellectually? If there was no last day or day of resurrection, then the existence of then bringing into existence the creation will become
meaningless.
It'll be in vain if there was nothing to look forward to. وَاللَّهُ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنِ الْعَبَثِ. Allah is free and glorified and above doing something which is meaningless or vain, something that is, you know, purposeless. فما الحكمة من قوم يخلقون ويؤمرون وينهون ويلزمون بما يلزمون به ويندبون إلى ما يندبون إليه ثم يموتون ولا حساب ولا عقاب. What would be the benefit? What would be the wisdom behind? People that are created, they are commanded, they are prohibited from doing some things. They are commanded to carry out some things, and they are encouraged to carry out others. Then they die. Then no accountability and no punishment? Where's the wisdom in that? All the do's and don'ts.
And all this, you know, and there's nothing to look forward to, this is impossible.
وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا.
Continue, يا جماعة الخير.
وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقَّ.
سورة إيش؟ سورة المؤمنون. The end of سورة المؤمنون. You have to miss سورة المؤمنون. It's a beautiful surah. The whole Quran is beautiful, but سورة المؤمنون is very nice. Especially when you read that, I mean, it's a great reminder. So do you presume that we created you purposelessly? There's no purpose behind your creation. وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And that to us you will not return. If this is what you think, then here's what Allah said. فَتَعَالَى. Then exalted is Allah, Al-Malik, the King, Al-Haq, the Truth, the Sovereign. La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arsh al-Kareem. There is no God worthy of worship but He, the Lord of the Noble Throne. وقال تعالى إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد. Verily the one who has made this Quran obligatory upon you will return you to an appointment. The one who has revealed this Quran upon you will return you to an appointment. لرادك إلى معاد. كيف يفرض القرآن ويفرض العمل به. How is the Quran become revealed? How is it revealed and it becomes obligatory to act upon it? ثم لا يكون هناك معاد. Then there is no accountability, there is no appointment. نحاسب على ما نفذنا من هذا القرآن الذي فرض علينا. Where we would be held accountable to that which we carried out of the Quran which was imposed and which was made obligatory upon us. فصارت أنواع الأدلة على ثبوت اليوم الآخر خمسة. Then the evidences we use to prove that there's a last day are five. Who can repeat them?
Kutub
al-Samawiyya. Al-Kutub al-Samawiyya, the heavenly books. Wal-Aql. These are the five. طيب, inshallah ta'ala, if you all remain alive and healthy, next week we'll be dealing with what will happen on resurrection. The rising of the people from the grave and naked, uncircumcised, barefooted, and the description of the people, the sun coming close. Inshallah ta'ala next week. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa iyyakum.